Enriched Life Media presents The Jesus Message. Today's message will inspire you to take a closer look at the one we call Savior, Jesus Christ. We invite you now to enter the drama, power, and hope of the ongoing story of truth with our speaker, Danny Hood.
Mark 10 and 46 through 52 says, "And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, 'Thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, 'Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee.' And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, 'What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?' The blind man said unto him, 'Lord, that I might receive my sight.' And Jesus said unto him, 'Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole.' And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way." I want to talk to you today about the Bartimaeus way. First of all, as we read in verse 46, the crowd was heavy, thronged together in anticipation of what Jesus might do next. For many in the crowd, lonely days had been spent in hopeless thoughts that there would never and could never be any change. But change walked among them. Love held out a touchable hand. Peace filled the atmosphere with something real. While doctors of the law sat around pontificating about their expertise, Jesus was the physician doing something about the desperate needs of the common man. And while the Sanhedrin sat around in worried circles, gesticulating their disgust for the man of Nazareth's following, Jesus just kept on healing, loving, and setting sinners free. I want you to notice in verse 46 the mention of two groups: the disciples, followers, and a great number of people, possibly curious and undecided. You see, there are many who profess to be following Christ, but they are nothing more than curious observers. They haven't gotten desperate for a personal breakthrough. They are more like reporters looking for a soundbite. They agree with certain aspects of the journey, but they are not sold out yet. They are undecided, because there might be some things he requires they aren't really ready for. You see, it takes decisive faith to be a dedicated follower. You can't have casual faith, easy believism mindsets, and really want to take the journey with Jesus, because discipleship costs everything. You're all in, or you're not in at all. I know that sounds cruelly intolerant, or maybe belligerently indifferent, or insensitive to the distant seeker, but somewhere a hunger must win out over hesitation. You have to step away from the mere crowd and into the circle of discipleship. Jesus has to become something more than a historical figure with good things to say. He must become your Savior. You see, you cannot be just a crowd pleaser and a cross carrier at the same time. Now, this doesn't mean that you're always looking for a volcanic fight to start, or that everyone in the crowd is just meaningless in their pursuit. It's not about being exclusive. It's about being an example. And if you break away from the crowd that wants to allow perversion and entrance, you become a potential leader for change. Attitudes can change. Ideas can change. Emotions can change. When discipleship kicks in gear, it becomes the true thermostat of society, changing the temperature of cold, godless humanism to an effectual, fervent atmosphere of hope, deliverance, truth, transformation, and destiny. You see, you can't be a destiny changer until you change decisions. Some have decided to wander down the broad road that leads to destruction, Others have decided to set up camp at one religious point or another without budging. But as you follow Christ, someone may see that the narrow path is actually the secret way to a very grand kingdom, the kingdom of God. So don't just be a number. Walk with purpose in His name. Now, notice he wasn't just Bartimaeus. He was blind Bartimaeus. The description held his deficiency. I'm sure he would like to have been known by 1,000 different names. Blessed Bartimaeus, blameless Bartimaeus. But the adjective stuck. The label lived. Everyone knew him by this one identifying characteristic, blind. Not quite on par with success. I mean, who really wants to interview blind Bartimaeus? What pointers can he give us on the benefits of being blind? Yet what seemingly marked him in a negative sense became his greatest asset. Without being blind, would he have called out to Jesus? Without being blind, would he have been as bulldog determined when the crowd rebuffed him to be quiet? Without being blind, would he have been able to get Jesus to stand still and call him to him? The thing that might have made him an outcast, in some respects, was also the thing that gave the miraculous an opportunity. Oh, my friend, what is your mark? Is it physical, mental, emotional? Are you identified by something that makes you sweat with fear, withdraw into a shell, or run away as fast as you can? What is the introductory remarks concerning your failures that make you constantly relive the mistakes of the past? Are you the divorcee, the abused, the neglected, the abandoned, the abuser, the prisoner? What is your label that has you sitting by the wayside? Because you need to know that Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. And if you weren't lost, you would need saving. Maybe you are defeated Daniel, or lost Lucy, or wandering William. Maybe you are rebel Robert, or sinner Sam. We all had the non-distinguishing labels. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all blindly stumbled down a road of destruction, headed for the lava pits of eternal punishment. So no matter the label, you can come to the light. No matter the mark of past mistakes, you can find better meaning in the cross. No matter the scowling faces of the justice seekers behind dark shadows and lonely masks, mercy awaits. Grace can conquer. Love can win. And you can see. See love, maybe for the first time. See hope. Maybe after so many years of discouragement, see peace after so many journeys of trouble and conflict. And think about this. You could say there were three kinds of blindness that day. The obvious blindness of the begging man sitting by the wayside. The blindness of the disciple to the miracle behind the curtain of mystery. And the blindness of the crowd, or you might say world, to the needs of those around them. We can all fall into every one of these kinds of blindness. Self dictates the needs of our own, but often closes the window of compassion on others. Oh, that our eyes would be open to His love, His grace, and His compassion ever at work, that we would strip away the thick curtains veiling our view of others, that we would have the cataracts of selfish goals cured by a vision of true sacrifice and altruism and self-effacing administrations of a living sacrifice. Next, when the blind man heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out. You see, the identity engendered the intercession. When he found out who it was, it created the impetus for what he would do. Are you waiting for the right person to come along to spark that deep desire of faith? How many more days will you spend sitting in the cold of the wayside mentality? Because Jesus walks down your street, He's alive in your world. He's coming down the avenue of your loneliness in a parade of grace and mercy. Behold him in his word. See him in the glory of his resurrection. Know that he is not prejudicially exclusive with his love. He wants whosoever will to come, to call, and to connect. Maybe you feel your hopes are roadblocked and indeterminately detoured, but Jesus walks your way. Maybe you feel that your ambitions are milked away and all you have are the pastures of regret, but Jesus walks your way. Call on him, pray to him, believe in him, trust his word. His promises are not manlike, adjustable. They are godlike, unchanging. And the Bible goes on to say that many charged him that he should hold his peace. But the scripture says he cried out the more. Above the crowded conversation, the muffled tones of a dozen different deep discussions, above the soft winds fervently blowing over rugged hills and busy streets, above the crunching sandals pressing along as many stumbled along trying to keep up with the Messiah, above the distant voices of vendors in the marketplace trying to persuade potential buyers to stop by, above the silent Pharisees with loud stares of protest, above the timid tongues of some too ashamed to ask for help, he cried, and when told to be quiet, he turned up the volume. He intensified his desire for a breakthrough miracle. You see, the word cry here is the Greek word kradzo. It means to croak like a crow or to shriek. How ironic in a world where the Pharisees were always crowing about their good deeds and incomparable performance of the law of Moses, that this blind man crowed above them all with desperation for a miracle. They cried out for attention. He cried out for a transformation. They were ignored. He was empowered. Oh, my friends, can you imagine the moment when the lights came on for this blind man who had been called to Jesus and Jesus had asked him what he wanted him to do? Oh, he wanted his eyes to be open. Imagine that moment. The electric surge that fired through the optic nerves, pulsating through the irises, images appearing on the screen, feelings felt would become visions seen, voices heard would become faces seen, flowers smelled would become endearing roses viewed in full color, beauty described by the best poets around him, now realized in vivid detail, bright lights and a flickering candle, a blue sky, a blue-eyed friend, or the blue fringe hanging from the priest's garments. He could finally see it all. Geometry was visual math to him now, for he could see the square forms of houses and the rectangular carts bumping along the road, the triangular chins of dear loved ones, the oval and angry eyes of Sanhedrin members. And then the Bible also says that he cast away his outer garment. Oh, my friend, this is getting rid of your past. This is walking away from the things that labeled you of yesterday's failure, the thing that always looks like you and feels like you. But you put off the past condition, and as the scripture says, you put on Christ, because that's what happens. When you repent of your sins and are baptized in the name of Jesus and filled with the Holy Ghost, he puts on you a robe of righteousness. Paul said in Romans, we put on Christ. He also said it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. So when we put on Christ and put off the past condition, we get to shelve shame, circumvent sin, cancel condemnation, table treachery for truth, suspend self-hate and spite, call off your reservations at hell's crowded hall, disrobe rebellion and strip off the stained reputation of what you used to be, what you used to do, and where you used to live in the darkness. And then the Bible says after his miracle, he followed Jesus in the way. It's the Greek word hadas. It implies progress. It speaks of a route. You see, the Bartimaeus way is three things. It's when you've been touched by Jesus and you never depart from the way. You don't treat Jesus like a modern-day microwave, crystal meth, quick fix. Number two, you never detour from his word because you know that it's the true way of progress. And thirdly, you never delay from taking the way. We don't read where Bartimaeus joined up later, allowing for other temptations and philosophies to persuade him. No, he started following Jesus immediately. So my friend, when you're wondering about the Bartimaeus way and what you can do on this road of discipleship and how you can affect and influence others' lives, I think of the parable of the pencil. The pencil maker took the pencil aside just before putting him into the box. "There are five things you need to know," he told the pencil, "before I send you out into the world. Always remember them and never forget, and you will become the best pencil you can be. 1. You'll be able to do many great things, but only if you allow yourself to be held in someone's hand. 2. You will experience a painful sharpening from time to time, but you'll need it to become a better pencil. 3. I will be able to correct mistakes that you might make. 4. The most important part of you will always be what's inside. 5. On every surface you are used on, you must leave your mark. No matter what the condition, you must continue to write." The pencil understood and promised to remember and went into the box with purpose in its heart. Now remember, the pencil is like you and I. Always remember it and never forget, and you'll become the best person you can be. 1, you will be able to do many great things, but only if you allow yourself to be held in God's hands and allow other human beings to access you for the many gifts you possess. 2, you'll experience a painful sharpening from time to time by going through various problems, but you'll need it to become a stronger person. 3, God will be able to forgive mistakes that you might make. 4, the most important part of you will always be what's on the inside. And 5, on every surface you walk through, you must leave your mark. No matter what the situation, you must continue to do your duties. By understanding and remembering, you'll be able to proceed through every part of the journey with meaningful purpose in your heart. Oh, my friend, the Bartimaeus way is the way that refuses to be silenced when you have a need that desperately has to get in touch with God. The Bartimaeus way is that testimony that must come out and it must be heard. The Bartimaeus way is understanding that when God has touched your life, you must continue and touch others' lives. They must see the power of the light that is reflecting in your life, not because of your greatness, because of the grace of God that's been exercised in your life. In the Battle of the Argonne in October of 1918, the Allies were attempting to break German lines when Captain Alvin York and his men came upon well-hidden machine guns on high ground. As he later put it, "The Germans got us, and they got us right smart. And I'm telling you, they were shooting straight. American soldiers just went down like the long grass before the mowing machine at home." But Captain York and his men went behind the German lines, overran a unit, and captured the enemy. Suddenly, there was new machine gun fire from a ridge, and 6 Americans went down. York was in command, exposed but cool, and he began to shoot. "All I could do was touch the Germans off just as fast as I could. I was sharpshooting. All the time I kept yelling at them to come down. I didn't want to kill any more than I had to." A German officer tried to empty his gun into York while York fired. He failed, but York succeeded. The Germans surrendered, and York and his small squad marched 132 German prisoners back to the American lines. His Medal of Honor citation called him fearless, daring, and heroic. But you see, York wasn't born a hero. Alvin York was born in 1887 into a Tennessee farming family that didn't have much. But nobody else did, so it wasn't so bad. He was the third of 11 children and had an average life at that time and place. Then World War I came. He experienced a crisis of conscience over whether to fight. His mother's evangelical church tugged him toward more or less a pacifist's thinking. "I didn't know what to do," he said. "I'm telling you, there was a war going on inside me, and I didn't know which side to lean to, and I was a heap bothered by it." But you see, Alvin York needed to experience an internal eclipse. His doubts were eventually eclipsed by faith and trust, and a hero was revealed. And like York and like blind Bartimaeus, you can get up and make a move. You can set the tone for change by leaving the garment of yesterday's identity behind, by realizing that when Jesus is passing your way, you can call upon him. You can find him. There are mysteries behind the door if you'll knock. And there are things to be discovered if you'll seek. And there are prayers to be answered if you'll ask. But we have to do the asking and the seeking and the knocking. We have to be willing to make the journey and do what Bartimaeus did. We have to be able to conquer the self-doubts. We have to be able to lift our voice above the crowd. We have to do what Alvin York did in a spiritual sense. We have to take care of the internal struggle on the inside. And once we conquer those doubts, once we conquer those fears and let faith take the active role in our life, all the heroic things that we make and do, maybe not as a soldier in a national war spotlight or on a battlefield like that, but every day we're on a battlefield. We're fighting enemies that want to deceive and to destroy. We're fighting spirits that want to seduce and want to tear down the ways of truth. But you, my friend, you can rise up and walk the Bartimaeus way. You can be used of God not only for the testimony of your own blindness being cured, but you can help others have their eyes enlightened to the truth, enlightened to the love of God, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. To that true sight and visual of the things of God to come. For the Bible says that eye hath not seen nor ear heard the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Oh, my friend, one day the trumpet of the Lord is going to sound, and we're going to take our rapture flight, and we're going to meet the Lord in the air, and we're going to discover things that are beyond our imagination, and we're going to sit down at tables of peace and commune in moments of great victory, and we're going to be thankful for those moments on that other side of glory when we realized that we didn't give up. When we couldn't see it, we kept praying, and finally, all those things will become visible and understood. Oh, my friend, today, take the Bartimaeus way. When you begin to follow Jesus and have your Acts 2:38 experience, don't ever back down. Keep going forward in Jesus' name.
He will take my gloom and sadness. Oh, I can call him when I need him, never find.
Hi, this is Natalie Hood, and if you enjoyed today's message and want to know more and hear more, visit thejesusmessage.com. At thejesusmessage.com, you will find podcasts of messages to download, inspirational blogs to read, videos, and much, much more. Also, Reverend Danny Hood has written several books, including God's Time Zone. God's Time Zone will encourage you that it's never too late to dream, to trust God, and to see God do, in His timing, what you never thought possible. Another encouraging book entitled Hope, an Anchor, will encourage you that no matter how difficult the storms of life become, Jesus offers an anchor of love, power, compassion, and peace. It will secure you in the deepest waters and most traumatic times. Two other soul-stirring books are entitled The Desperation Zone, Where Storms Brew and Miracles Happen. This book will show you men and women just like you that overcome tragic, traumatic, and trying events in their lives. The Desperation Zone focuses on the deep motivation of prayer and how God takes the debris of life and builds incredible testimonies. The other book is entitled The Impossibility Zone, Where Faith Triumphs. Again, in this book, Danny Hood visits the conquering lives of ordinary men and women of the Bible and contemporary times. The Impossibility Zone will put you in the valley with David as he defeats Goliath, in a widow woman's grieving world as the Savior changes a funeral to a celebration, and in everyday routine situations that show us God is truly near. Visit shop.thejesusmessage.com. That's shop.thejesusmessage.com and order one of these truly inspiring books today.
Friend, I want to thank you for listening to the Jesus Message today, and I certainly hope that you've been touched and inspired by what you've heard. And we want you to join us again next week when the story of the Bible continues, and you, my friend, are a part of that story.
Thank you for listening to the Jesus Message. It is our sincere prayer that you have been touched by today's message, and we invite you to join us again next week for another exciting presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For more information about the Jesus Message, visit thejesusmessage.com. That's thejesusmessage.com.